That, I mean, I guess if you hadn't seen it and you'd seen those hands, you'd know at this point it's an 11-year-old scene.
Oh. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Sorry, we're currently being haunted.
Yeah. That's... All these Funko Pops start falling.
Hey, what's up, Horror Bin fans? Welcome to another episode of the Horror Bin. Get your crucifixes ready. Oh. Get your demonology books out because it's time to go in with Ed and Lorraine Warren, a couple of Karn artists that got a movie franchise. Here to talk about it, good buddy of the podcast, it's Channing Apodaca.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for having me, buddy.
Thank you for much, so much being on. See, I'm possessed.
That's possessed, dude. Those tongues.
That's the best version of tongues you'll ever get. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into it, what's your experience with horror? Like, where are you on, in terms of a horror fan, where are you at?
I was honestly never a big horror fan because there are so many different subgenres of horror and most of them encapsulate bad filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, even back to the classics, like, I don't think The Exorcist is, like, necessarily, like, a good film.
Okay.
It's got very scary scenes, but honestly, my first introduction into being like, all right, I like this shit, is The Conjuring.
Interesting.
Because it's not only is it scary, I think it is the scariest film ever made. It's also a really well-made movie. Like, James Wan makes good movies. The cinematography is good. The storytelling is good. It's all lined up. I like an ABC story, and it's all made sense to me.
So, for those that are listening and watching, we've already said it a couple times. We are doing The Conjuring today, 2013, The Conjuring, the start of what is now like its own
it might be the worst universe.
Monster universe thing. Yeah. When you told me this, I had not seen The Conjuring till last night when I power through watching it at 2 a.m.
I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you watched it through the witching hour. Very bold.
Both my brain was like, if I can separate, this is the difference between this movie and like Skinamarink, which we did like a while ago with Jay Light, is that movie kind of almost forces you to pay attention because you don't know where anything's going to go. There's no dialogue or anything like that. And it's a very experimental kind of movie. So you're kind of glued to what's on screen. With The Conjuring, I'm not a big fan of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I do think they're con artists.
Really?
I think they're full of shit. I don't, you know, and I'll speak ill of the dead. They're full of shit. Come and haunt me if you guys can. I think they're full of shit. And if not full of shit, I think they're over exaggerating like what they did.
Probably. And, it was also and a everything. Business.
I'm not a big fan of the based on a true story stuff. I'm not a big fan of really demons being the main focus or the main monster.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think a part of it is like this gives too much this gives too much validation to the church.
Yeah, I mean that's what's interesting to me. You being Mexican, I assume that you were raised Mexican Catholic.
I'm a recovering Catholic, dude. I got out of that game a long time ago.
That might be why you are against The Conjuring, but I mean Catholics don't fuck with this shit.
No. Oh God, no. Yeah.
but like the whole demonology side of everything that Ed and Lorraine do or did seems like it would be right up your alley in terms of like scaring you or spooking you or piquing your interest because of-
I just don't know, like watching this, I agree, like I think it was a good movie. I particularly am I'm not a big fan of what I was telling you. I'm not a big fan of silence, jump scare.
Yeah,
silence, jump scare. I'm not a big fan of that kind of scaring.
Here's where I think James Wan does it better or different, because his jump scares don't come where you think they're going to come from. It's almost like a step or two after. Like, there's the typical, like, rule of threes, where, like, oh, this happens, this happens, this happens. Jump scare's coming right here.
Yeah.
Like, in the opening scene of the movie, or not the opening scene, but one of the early scenes, when the little girl is looking under her bed, she looks under there two times, and there's nothing there, and you expect there to be.
Yeah.
And then it fades out, and there's a whole new scene. There's nothing happens until... You know, the infamous.
Yeah. I will say, like, that whole section did kind of, like, get me a little bit on edge.
Yeah.
And me being alone at, like, 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning watching that. I started, like, 2, so, like, 2:30. This is only, like, half an hour in. Like, I was kind of, like, a little bit on my edge, just kind of, like, watching. I'd, like, crack jokes just to myself, just, to, like, be, like.
Just come
I don't want to be. Yeah, because it was, again, the fucking, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's
you're literally
30
minutes away from when the movie cracks off. Yeah. You're 30 minutes away from the witching hour. So when things are going down in the movie, it hits 3 a.m. for you. Yeah.
But then
spooky stuff.
There are certain scenes that I watched in this movie that I'm like, this is, if I was, and I told you this, if I was intently watching, if I, my hyper focus is on it, nothing else is existing except this movie, I think, yeah, I would have 100% been like, this is terrifying. My concentration was split, so I think I had a little bit of a buffer. But what I did see and what I was ultimately ended up laughing at, I was like, I'm sure if I was, again, I'm sure if I was watching this like more more directly, I would have been freaked out by these scenes.
It is a cinema watch. Like, it's a big screen, loud theater, or like good sound system type movie. Pitch black. It's got to be cold. You have to feel like you're there for it to really hit.
Yeah.
Because like, I watched Insidious in the daytime one time. Like, I had seen Insidious, and then I was like, you guys got to watch this movie. It's the fucking best. It's scary. And then me and a couple buddies watched it on like a maybe 30-inch screen middle of the day, and they're like, this shit was gay. I was like, yeah, you're right. The movie sucks, dude.
Critics say gay. Yeah.
But The Conjuring, I know which scene you're about to reference, and before you say it, I will say that is the scaredest I've ever been in a theater in that moment.
But before we get to any scenes or anything, you know, we have been talking about this for a minute. I think it's only right that we give it a shot and see the trailer. So let's take a look. Here it is. And a young Joey King in this too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And we're fresh off the what was that fucking
where she played Gypsy?
Gypsy. We're in the height of the Gypsy Rose right now. So perfect timing.
Wait, she just did Gypsy?
The Gypsy Rose show was a couple years ago, but the Gypsy Rose just got out of jail.
Oh, right. Just recently. Right. Oh. Let it be known here and right now, there's never...
Come on, dude. I got chills right now watching that.
I can hear you breathing.
That's so funny. I watched this earlier. Take your blindfold off. I can hear you breathing. It's like, really? You think your child breathes like that? Take the blindfold off, lady. What kind of mother are you? Your child's got bronchitis, at least.
Honey, you okay?
Yeah, can we pause the game for a second? Mom, come and get me. Also, not a single child woke up.
I have this clip queued up. Because, yeah, nobody...
those are my only critiques.
Nobody gets up during this. She's yelling and screaming, who's there?
Yeah.
Shit's falling. Shit's freaking people out. Kids are dead asleep.
My only two critiques are the bronchitis and those photo frames. Look at that beautiful Dutch angle.
Look at that.
Who's ever down there? I'm gonna lock you in now.
Psych.
Oh. Right in the face, too.
I like how a lot of the scares are practical, too. Like, you know, being locked in something, being trapped, falling downstairs. This right here, though. Come on, dude. Come on.
You know why this didn't scare me when I was watching it? Because I've seen that clip to death.
Okay, sure.
I knew that jump was coming. Yeah. Oh, just before my birthday.
The font is scary. That fucking long ass J. Come on, that's spooky font.
that font though.
I just loved like when it was brand new. I loved it. It could have been like a big jump scare. It could have been a ghost or a demon, goblin, ghoul, whatever you're expecting at that point to jump out and scare you. But the subtlety of just like setting it up with the game, setting it up with the dresser, and then those hands coming out of pure black, and you can tell they're dead hands. Like, oh. I thought it was just a beautiful, subtle scare.
Yeah.
He uses children very well, dude.
Yes.
And that's a creepy sentence.
It is a creepy sentence to say for anybody in Hollywood. but yeah, in this instance, it's in a positive light.
Yeah. I mean, his use of like just creepy dead kids in Insidious, in this movie, and in The Conjuring 2 also.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I have not seen. This is only the first of any of the Conjuring movies I've seen. Especially when I saw clips or even like they announcing the Annabelle movie, I was like, nah, I'm fucking out. Like, I just barely got over my fear of Chucky. And that's a fun haunted doll. This one's like a fucking Victorian creepy ass one.
Do you know what the real Annabelle doll is?
Yeah.
It's a Raggedy Ann.
It's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of like, if you were to take like a real camera into Dave and Lorraine, Ed and Lorraine's actual place, mm-hmm. there are some objects in there that's like, it's nonsense.
Oh, sure. I mean, in the movie, there was a full samurai suit. I don't know if you noticed that. So racist.
For those, I mean, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
As two of their interns do point out when they're like, far out, groovy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, I guess we're in the 70s.
It was the daughter and then the photography intern guy.
That's what it is.
He shows her the black light. It shows us what the eye can't. It lets us see what the eye can't.
Groovy.
Pretty far out, huh?
Yeah. For those that don't know, or anybody who's like me and is only just barely getting into this franchise, the plot for The Conjuring came out in 2013, directed by James Wan, who you all might recognize from from one of the Fast and Furious movies.
He did one of them. He did Aquaman and then Aquaman. The Insidious. Not all of them. I think he did Insidious 1 and 2.
Most of them, yeah. Did he do any of the other Conjuring?
He did The Conjuring 2, and then that's about where the universe falls apart because it starts getting written and directed. He's a producer.
Doesn't it always in a franchise, after the sequel, whether it's good or bad, that's when you just know like it's all downhill from there, baby.
The Conjuring 2 is good. The Conjuring 2 is good.
Written by Chad Hayes and Carrie W. Hayes. We got a pretty good cast here. Patrick Solid. Wilson, both from Conjuring and the Insidious mm-hmm. movies. Vera Farmiga, who eventually will have her sister in the movies too.
Her sister plays the nun.
She doesn't play the nun, but she plays a nun in The Nun.
What an
Inception moment.
I believe she plays the demon's name. I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it in Insidious.
We're not above spoilers okay. here.
So I believe it's her sister who plays Valak, which is the demon in this one. Like, so in The Conjuring, it's Bathsheba. In The Conjuring 2, it's Valak, which comes to form in like a nun form, and then that's why like in all these other fucking spinoffs there's the nun and I don't know.
Yeah.
Imagery is all it is.
And we got Ron Livingston, Lily Taylor, and like I put down Joey King, a very young Joey King is
also
in this.
I like how you didn't name any of the other kids.
except for like maybe one kid that looked familiar, like none of them I was just like, well, yeah,
I don't want to say nameless, but just unrecognizable.
Yeah, I mean, do more.
I'll say this.
Get more work.
I'll say this. All solid performances.
Oh, everybody did great. It's one of those movies where they have such a big cast, but everyone does feel like a real character or feels like a real person.
And that they have like a purpose for being there. Because like you could be like, why is the cop there?
Yeah.
It's like, I guess, he has a reason.
Yeah.
And if it's a true story, I guess there probably was a cop there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But they all
knocked it out of the park.
That's where I'm very iffy about the based on a true story preface.
Sure.
For certain movies, especially horror movies, it's just like okay, but like how real? Like it ended up being like oh, they just had an episode. But yeah, and I could be wrong. Yeah, I wasn't
you can
there.
Deep dive like certain documentaries on it, and I'm not saying I believe in the paranormal, but I'm not saying I don't. So like that's kind of where I. And Matt, I'm right in the middle. There's probably some exaggeration, but I think there's also a little proof in the pudding with certain things.
With certain things, yeah. And then for the plot, we have paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse, which we mentioned is a demon called Bathsheba, mm-hmm. which sounds like some aftercare products you would get, like Bed Bath & Beyond. You have itchy skin? Bathsheba.
It sounds like a knockoff. Like you could buy Bathsheba on Temu.
For $4.99 today,
Bathsheba would be like
can be yours.
It would be the Bed Bath and Beyond from like Tokyo. You know, Bathsheba. Mm-hmm.
Bathsheba, the new Sony Bathsheba. But yeah, I did want to bring up that we did like we were talking about from the trailer. Probably one of the weirdest. Moments in this entire movie, if I had a big critique, is the fact that the mom gets up late at night to like figure out who of her daughters is up roaming around. Mm-hmm. Everybody's asleep. The loudest crash. That's still going.
Yeah. If there's one,
and then one kid in bed is like,
yeah,
quiet.
If there is one explanation, it's that I guess at this. universe, this world that they're living in, sort of posits a world where not everybody sees or hears things. Because if you remember, when I think it was Joey King, when she first woke up, she sees the demon in the corner and nobody else can see it.
That part actually freaked me out more than anything else.
When she was just like, it's standing right there.
Because I've been Joey King before. Look at that. Standing up, standing on hands. But I've been Joey King before, and I have my aunt and uncle used to live at this place in Covina. And we would go by, and they had a living room, but nobody ever was in this one living room. And my aunt would always tell me, like, yeah, you would always, like, if it was like late at night and we're having like a party or a get together or whatever, you would just stand at, and she was telling this to me, you would just stand at the entrance of the living room and just stare. And we'd be like, what's wrong? She's like, there's something there. There's something.
Wait, you would do that?
Apparently. And one time we were playing hide and seek. I was it. Terrible idea. I'm standing at the end of a hallway. I'm standing at one end of the hallway towards where the living room and the kitchen and everything is. And on the other side, there's the master bedroom. And then there's like a spare room. Mm-hmm. And I remember vividly standing on one end and just seeing a silhouette of a man just walk from one room to the other. I scream, freak out. Everybody comes out of hiding. Ooh. I ended up winning. That's how it works. And I tell them, like,
somebody
just went that way. Blah, 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 blah. They go over. No, someone went from the master bedroom to the guest room. Because they go over, they look in the guest room. There's no door. There's one window closed. The screen wasn't taken out or nothing.
See,
nobody
dude,
in there.
You could have used some Ed and Lorraine.
Nah. They come over and they'll be like, the devil has you. I'm
nothing
like, well, tell
Mary's
him, tell him he needs to pay. but we do eventually get a glimpse of Bathsheba. They do appear in this movie.
Multiple times.
But this is probably, in my opinion, the funniest.
I cannot believe you think it's funny.
I think this is hilarious. Doing the Jim Carrey face and then leaping down.
It is in just get theaters, in pitch black.
I'm Bathsheba.
It's a little sassy.
I'm here to terrorize you.
In theaters. Pitch black.
In theater.
You know that feeling when you're riding a roller coaster and like it drops and you try to scream but you can't and all that comes out is like... I gutturally made that noise. I've never screamed at a movie in my life. Mm-hmm. I've been scared to the point where like I get up and leave the room. Like when I was little watching, I forget what even movie, but like I'll just leave and not watch it. But out loud came that. And I grabbed the bottom of my movie seat and I pulled myself down.
Wow.
That was the first time I watched it. And then a second time I took my roommate at the time to go see it. I was like, you got to see it. He was a big pussy. I was like, you got to go see it. Me and my other roommate forced him to go. He audibly screamed, oh my God. And we were watching it in Northridge with a bunch of black chicks in the theater.
And they told him to shush. Dude,
no.
Oh.
You would have thought the movie was called Oh Hell No. That was all. It actually made the viewing experience very fun and funny because everybody was losing their shit.
Yeah.
But also Oh Hell No in their way through the entire film.
I forget there was a movie that I saw that I did the same thing. I like audibly like freaked out. I can't remember what it was though. No, I can't remember.
Damn. I think that first look at Bathsheba, the push-in of the camera is fucking brilliant and scary. The fact that the camera tilts up and you see it, and then at first you're like, what the fuck is that? Rapid push-in. Like, again, I just love the camera work and the cinematography on this movie.
And again, if I wasn't in a mindset of like, I'm alone and I'm making fun of this movie just to like buffer it for myself. Mm-hmm. So I can, one, take as diligent notes as I could.
I get it. I purposely watched it this morning. So I didn't have to watch it late at night last night alone.
And then, but for me, it was just, like I said, it was just that Jim Carrey, like, hey, like, what's going on? Like that little phase cracked me up. And I found out it's the film composer plays Bathsheba.
I think I knew that. I think I remember seeing that. Yeah.
I was looking around like, okay, who actually plays this character? And it was film composer.
Wow. Also great composing.
The music's great.
The shrill music in that. I don't like that a lot of times. I thought it was just well-timed in this.
And then I will say, like, for for all my like finding faults into it, like not really finding any real, for me, not really finding enjoyment, I can definitely see like, oh yeah, this is a, this shot well. It is scary. Particularly for me, like I'm not a big fan of it, but I can get behind the fact that it is one of the highest grossing horror movies. I found out The Conjuring was made on a relatively modest budget of $20 million, but went on to recoup that figure back nearly 16 times over to become one of the most profitable scary movies of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's beneath it?
What's beneath it? Why follow-up questions, goddammit,
Chad? I mean, I'm just out of curiosity. I would assume it's got to be like The Exorcist.
Second highest grossing.
Friday the 13th.
I doubt it'd be Friday the 13th.
I mean, over time,
if you had to take a guess, what would you say?
I'm not going to look at the screen. I would have to say The Exorcist, just all time.
I think if we're trying, perpetuity. I think we're also trying to figure this out. It'd probably be like after inflation too.
The Sixth Sense.
Well, okay, so
oh, that makes sense.
So highest grossing, and I think this is just worldwide taken into account. The Conjuring actually falls at number 13. At number one is the 2017 It movie.
Oh, then I didn't even see
it. Sixth Sense. I Am Legend.
Not a horror movie. That doesn't belong there.
World War Z.
Not a horror movie.
It Chapter 2. The Exorcist is at number 6.
Wow.
The Nun, number 9.
Ugh.
The Conjuring 2 actually beat out The Conjuring, which kind of makes sense. If like you had a first movie that was like considered one of the highest grossing movies, you have to imagine their sequel is going to do just as, if not better.
I got to watch The Nun now, I guess, just to see.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh, that's wild.
Interesting.
I guess especially for its time, it was definitely definitely the highest grossing. Because there was a moment in time, I think, like there wasn't really like a lot of big pops from horror movies.
Right.
And this is one of those movies that I do remember when it like trailer came out and when all the news came out and everything about it and all this and that. I do remember a lot of people really hyping it up, being like, no, it's so good, blah, 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 blah. And especially compared to like some of the other stuff that was coming out, because it's 2013, you're not really looking at a ton of horror during that time.
At least any good ones.
Yeah. You know?
I think it like horror kind of had fallen into where comedy is sort of at right now, where everything is just like very, very run of the mill. It's all the same. Like comedy right now is like, oh, what's funny? A white guy walking away from an explosion in a neighborhood he should never be in.
Well, looking at this, I mean, we did have some pretty good horror movies. We had All Hallows Evil, which
never seen it.
I mean, it's more of an anthology movie, but it is like the first appearance of Art the Clown, who is currently doing really well, blowing up with the Terrifier movies. Mm. But that's our first appearance. The movie Mama, which is fine. The Evil Dead remake, which really good.
Never seen it.
The remake,
I've heard it's very good, though.
The remake's really, really good. I prefer Evil Dead Rise over it. Green Inferno, which that's kind of like you got to pick your own poison on that one. And then the rest is kind of stuff that maybe have fallen under the radar. A lot of straight to...
There's a Chucky movie right there.
Yeah, The Curse of Chucky. That was when they were trying to get back. They were trying to bring him back.
Yeah, there's like the Carrie remake, which was terrible. There was...
The Purge... Which
the original Purge?
Yeah, the first one.
Okay, not bad. Warm Bodies,
which horror very comedy. Similar to another movie we're going to be talking about, or that we have talked about, because this episode is in the future. We're ghosts.
I'm a demon, so.
Oh, okay. All right. but yeah, you were saying like they did have like a lot of practical effects. I do remember constantly seeing when the girl is getting pulled by her hair. And by the demon, mm-hmm. All around. I do remember seeing like the behind the scenes clip of them doing it, and I don't remember if it was I doubt it was the actual girl who was playing.
It had to have been a stunt.
It had to have been a stunt. But that girl, that woman was real put through the ringer. Like they're like legit throwing the shit out of her.
Yeah, yeah. Again, just another good spook. Like it's just a very slow build, and the little girl's voices in that movie make everything very creepy. So when she's like. I forget the character's name, but she's like, Sally? And her hair just starts to get lifted up, and then she gets yanked, and it's just this very shrill, shocking moment, kind of.
Overall, where do you fall under, it's time to get the, we're going to start wrapping up, but where do you fall on where it's time to get the fuck out of this haunted house? Like, at what point do you say, like, no?
When I get hit in the face with the basement door and trapped down there with a pair of dead hands.
Really?
I would, oh, fuck yeah.
Man, I'm getting out.
I mean, or after you see the demon, I mean, it's all the same night, right? Or is it maybe one night
No,
later?
It's multiple nights.
When the demon's on the armoire, on the dresser, you get the fuck out of that house.
Mm.
I get it.
Oh, that was the same night. That was the same night.
Right?
Because the mom was trapped downstairs, and yes. The dad conveniently came back from his trucking job.
Yeah, he got home from his 2-week-long
Everybody,
stint.
Every parent in this movie gets home just as the demon's like, now's the time to terrorize.
Hey, look, the movie has 2 hours to cut time, okay? They couldn't wait a whole week for dad to get back from his business meeting or whatever.
I don't know. The minute you start seeing like all the picture frames falling down from the staircase, unprompted, no earthquake or nothing, I'm like, ah, no, that's we're out. We're out. Come on, kids. We're going,
maybe,
we're sleeping in the truck.
Maybe then, yeah, why not?
We're sleeping in the truck till dad gets home and then we all get a gun.
Or how about when the fucking dog dies out of nowhere?
Oh, the only actual death in the movie. Nobody dies.
Yeah, true.
Unless you're counting Bathsheba hanging themselves, but I mean, like, that's
true.
That's way back when. But yeah, no deaths except for the dog, which I think is the biggest casualties. And I will not reward a best death for this movie because that is the only one.
No, that was terrible.
That overall,
poor dog didn't want to go in the house. Didn't even want to be there.
Yeah. Overall, yeah. The dog had it right. They're trying to get the dog, and the dog's like, "Fuck no, guy, we gotta go. There's evil in this place." But overall. On the scary rating, I definitely got to give it like up to an 8.5, maybe even a 9. Regardless of how I was watching it, I can definitely see like, damn, this is shot well.
Mm-hmm.
And the scares are set up well. Movie rating wise, I'm probably going to give it more of a 7, maybe even a 6.5.
Oh, wow.
In terms of just straight movie.
See, that's why I like it. I think it's a good film outside of being scary. IMO.
Yeah. Band scary rating and movie rating, you'd probably agree, maybe a bit more, maybe a little less.
Scary rating, like I said, to me, because I'm not the biggest horror fan, I'd go 10 out of 10. It's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
That's my benchmark. So I guess I'd say 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
It scares me every time I watch it still to this day. And then as a film, I'd probably go 8.5, maybe 9. Nah, probably closer to the 8.
I'd say that's fair.
It's hard to pull off such a genre movie and make it good. Like, it's hard to make a straight up comedy also a very good movie.
Yeah.
Horror, I think, falls in line with that. Like, you can have just like a good movie. Like, what's a great movie? Forrest Gump, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. What really does that fall under? Just a great film, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't really like have.
It's not
coming of age,
a comedy.
It's all these different things. So it's hard to make something that's so genre heavy and also be just good.
Yeah. And with that, I would definitely say in terms of where it lands in the bin, I'd say this is like an easy pick. You're having a horror night. This is an easy go-to. It belongs in the top of the bin. Like a no-brainer. This one, if you want it for a good horror night, this is the movie to pick.
I'm going
to
give you instructions on how to watch it. Biggest TV that you can find. You need a great sound bar if you've got 5.1 surround sound, and then you're going to push your couch up against your TV and open a window, get it about 20 degrees colder than it was before, and then watch the movie.
If you have any creaky doors, let them be slightly ajar.
If you got a cross in the house, turn it upside down.
Oh!
You got to set the tone.
The devil's coming to move at night. All right. But Channing, I mean, this is, like I said, this is like a no-brainer, top of the bin pick. Great choice. You got the first of the Conjuring series, which I'm sure we're probably going to have more on. And they probably won't be on the top. That's for
probably
sure.
Probably not.
But
the rest of them aren't very good.
But, dude, thank you so much for being on. I mean, you got your camera here. You got your camera there. Let the people know where they can find you, what you got going on.
You can find me at The Other Channing on all socials, except for Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. It's just at Other Channing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you find me? I have a monthly show or a bi-monthly show at the Stand Up Comedy Club in Bellflower. It's just called Channing Apodaca and Friends.
Hell yeah.
Check that out. Look for dates. And then, yeah, follow me on all socials.
Fantastic. Make sure to follow him. Check out his show. You guys can follow this podcast at Horror Bin Pod on Instagram, TikTok, Horror Bin Podcast on YouTube. Let us know what you guys think of this movie. Send us a suggestion for any movies you want us to cover or add to the bin. Make sure to follow me on everything Julian F. Comedy. Like, share, subscribe, do all the fun things. Let's build this horror community and let's expel these bad demons out of this podcast. But Channing, thank you again for being on, bud. Really appreciate it. Definitely going to have you back on
for sure. Thank you for having me.
But as we say in every movie, or as we say in every episode, bye.
Bye.